Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Friday Views brought to you by Yahoo Sports Canada. You already know the deal. Like, subscribe, share with your friends. My name is Iman, and I'm joined by my lovely Dishes and Dimes co-host, Yasmin. Yasmin, how are you? How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Let's see. I'm feeling kind of average right now, kind of like your 2021-2022 Toronto Raptors. Is that a segue for you or what? The Toronto Raptors
super average, super just, unremarkable.
But like in the weirdest way possible too. So the Raptors are the most average. They literally have the 15th net rating. That's how average they are. Smack dab in the middle. They're 500, 23 and 23. But they're average in the oddest way. I feel like most of the time when we talk about an average team, we're saying they're like middle of the pack on offense, middle of the pack on defense, middle of the pack sort of everywhere, where the Raptors kind of operate in the extremes, which brings them to the middle. Even in the games that we watch, we see them beat the Milwaukee Bucks, we see them lose to the Detroit Pistons, we have the same thing going on with the Hornets and the Blazers. It feels like extremes with this team. What are your thoughts on this last week or two of Toronto Raptors basketball?
It's just every time they have stretches where you're like, okay, they might be putting it together and they might go on another win streak here. They kind of bring us back down to earth with a couple consecutive losses.
Never consecutive. It's a win, it's a loss. It's a win, it's a loss.
Yeah, it's like give and take. You never get too high, never get too low. They're a very true 500 team at this point, which I guess towards the halfway mark of the season, it could be kind of encouraging to know that without the necessary changes, without do they have the worst bench in the NBA?
I think so.
Yeah, even with those.
Like, I could look up the metrics, but whose bench is worse?
Even the bad teams they played, their bench smacks us. Like they
have the Kings. The Kings are the only team. We're rivaling the Kings.
Yeah, it's really bad. So even with those conditions, they still play pretty, like, even under those severe conditions, they're still playing well enough, I guess, to be in the play-in race. I guess if you want to look at the bright side, the encouraging thing is that perhaps with a couple of fringe changes, they could be competitive. They could be a 51 team, an annual 51 team. So if you want to take, besides that, another silver lining could be that the starting five has been really solid, despite being in and out. Now Fred VanVleet has been out. Gary Trent Jr. has just come back. Scotty has been finding a bit of a rhythm, despite kind of being in the midst of a rookie plateau halfway through the season. So he's not having those single digit games, I guess, anymore. So that's a good sign. Siakam has been great. OG has actually found a stride the past couple of games, I think. I think he's been pretty good. So under those circumstances, I feel like it's hard for the front office to be like mad heading into, the approaching trade deadline. It's really like, how could you be mad if the team is in the play-in race and you still have yet to do any moves, any changes? So yeah, I'm really excited to see the kind of things that they plan to do, what positions they look to reinforce on the bench. So it's going to be interesting.
It's interesting that you say that. I don't think the front office should be mad at anything, of course, because the fact that the Raptors are hanging in with what they're doing. But I do think it's a little bit frustrating for them that they don't actually have a good feel on what this team is. I don't think anyone can have a good feel on what this team is, because the Raptors being healthy is a fallacy at this point. You're never going to get, I think you come to this point where we're more than halfway through the season and you've just not seen your team healthy. You just don't know what they look like when they have their top eight guys there. And I don't know that you're ever going to get to that point. And part of it is like a chicken and the egg thing, because if you're playing a six-man rotation, guess what? One of those guys is probably that minutes wear and tear is going to result in like knee soreness or guy out for because of an injury and this, that, and the third. And so when Gary Trent Jr. comes back, Fred VanVleet goes down. When Pascal comes back, OG goes down. And we just keep seeing this mishmash. Yeah. And I don't know that we're ever going to get everybody together healthy as long as you're playing these really short rotations, because it feels like the wear and tear eventually hurts the guys that are there. And it just, it's a little bit of a mess there. So it
I think the best thing they can do is to help widen that margin of error, because a lot of teams have been missing guys within the top of their rotation. Even the Bulls have been missing Lonzo.
Yeah.
And
Caruso is out.
So I feel like what the Raptors can do is get the talent to widen that margin of error, so that if the Raptors are missing two guys in the main rotation, it's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think that's the luxury that the top teams good in the conference enjoy, you know, where they can go out without maybe a starter or two.
The Miami Heat.
It's not going to make too much of a difference to their, like, they're going to expect to win still every night, you know? So I feel like that's what's needed, because right now, if they're missing a guy within that top seven rotation, it gets kind of dicey. Offense is already wearing thin. They're already lacking in shooting so severely. So, you know, you really notice it when someone like Fred VanVleet's down, the floor shrinks more than it already does. So,
And that's a great point. That's something, if we just look the bubble year, right? Just like two seasons ago, the Raptors never had a healthy rotation and it didn't matter. They still really finished with the second best record in the league. And that's because you could withstand injuries when your team was so deep. You look at what the Miami Heat are doing without Bam and Jimmy for as long as they've been out, and Kyle Lowry's been that main guy, and he's carried them to an incredible, and then now Kyle's gone, and Jimmy and Bam are able to do it. So yeah, that's what good teams have, and that's not where the Raptors are right now, because they're building, because they lost Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry and Danny Green and all of these key guys. But one of the places that they can look to make upgrades is the NBA trade deadline. And I kind of felt like the Raptors would stand pat for a good chunk of the season. And I'm off of that now. I think the Raptors are going to look to really make a move, but it does matter on what's available. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're going to make a move, but I don't think it's going to be as severe as people think. Mm. Like, I see people thinking that they're going to package the entirety of the bench to get this, you know, one guy or something like that. I think the Raptors,
they can't do that. Just like, they financially can. Will not work. The Raptors need a minimum of 14 players. They're up at the tax already. Like, they're basically right there. There is no scenario where they're packaging multiple guys for just one person in return, because they have to bring in more. Because the money matches there, and then now they have to fill up the roster with more vet minimum guys, and they're not paying the luxury tax for this team.
They are not. Not within the next 2 years, I don't think. So I think they found something special in Champagne and Delano that they want to cultivate. So I don't see them severely reducing the minutes those guys receive. I think they were going to see them playing. I think they're going to be prominent on the court. So considering that, I don't think they're going to trade for such a game changer as some people may think. I think they're going to look for guys who can be on the court and aren't defensive liabilities and can space the floor further. Because I think that has been the main issue. I think the Raptors have ample playmaking. Their defense is adequate. They I feel like they have everything locked in every aspect of the game, except when it comes to, I feel like the rebounding has improved too. I think they are among the top in the NBA in offensive rebounding, I believe.
They're tied for first in the NBA in
offensive rebounding. It's such a huge difference from before.
Yeah.
But the issue has been spacing. That has been like the constant. They've had, I feel like the injuries have really messed with their defensive consistency, and plus they're a young team. I feel like Nick Nurse's schemes, especially with the switching, can get really complicated and it will require time. And it's looked better to me. But at the same time, spacing is not something that you can kind of gloss over. Teams become smarter in the postseason. If the Raptors plan to make the postseason, which I think they do, they know that teams are going to key enough to the fact that Pascal Siakam is not a prolific floor spacer. Scottie Barnes is not a prolific floor spacer. Neither is Ken Burch. Neither is Chris Boucher. So they're going to key into onto this fact, and it's going to negatively affect that their biggest.
We're producer. Already seeing that with how many
teams you are
going the zone at the Raptors right now, because you can't bust a zone if you can't shoot. Right? Like, it's just that simple. And so we're seeing it already with how teams guard the Raptors, and it has hurt them.
Yeah. It's not something that they can rely on right now. And it's funny because it's always been like a strength of past Raptors teams. They've always had like more than adequate shooting. It's never been a, we need to get more. I've never thought like, this team needs more shooting. This team needs more shooting. They've always had a number of 40% shooters on the team. Really versatile shooters in Kyle Lowry. So it's like a new issue. I think that either this, we're going to see them go for those type of just above average floor spacers that can come off as like a ninth, eighth man, or we're going to see them go for a ball handler who can really get to the rim and create space so that even average shooters can get really clean looks. Which I think is a possibility. So we'll see what their approach is. If they take a latter approach, it means that they're willing to like really develop this crew, that the goal is to really just grow and have them play for a few years before, or a couple years before they actually really tackle a championship window or contention window. So I think this team is, we've seen it in the past Raptors teams where you just want to kind of get them used to winning. You know what I mean? Where it's clear that the Raptors were not trying to aim for championships with that 2015, 2016 crew, 2017, 2018 crew. I think 2017, 2018, you're trying to get to the finals.
Yeah.
But 2016,
2017, because that's when they made the deals for Serge Ibaka, PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
I think they were going
for it. But I think that we're a year or two away from those kinds of moves where it's clear they're aiming for a window. So I think prior to that, you just want your players to get used to playing each other. And that's kind of what we're witnessing.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you on that. And Michael Grange recently came out with his story talking about the Raptors. Untouchable, and you kind of mentioned it there, untouchable guys, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, and Scottie Barnes. That's the Raptors core. And anything around that are probably more movable guys. Now, is there anyone you're sort of looking at in particular, outside of obviously Goran Dragic, that the Raptors may move at this deadline?
I think a possibility is Chris Boucher and Gary Trent, I think. Gary Trent is a difficult one to see happening because he's been so offensively productive. But I feel like what he brings is probably the most replaceable aspect, which does not mean that he doesn't do it so well. But you look at his contract, you look at how well he's playing, he's just a really appealing contract for a lot of teams. I feel like a lot of teams would fight over Gary Trent Jr. And you package him up with someone like Chris Boucher who can play actual minutes on a good team. I think that he can really produce. So when you consider those things, and especially his recent play, which has been a completely different player. He just seems to be focusing on defense and energy. His defense has been really, really good. When you consider those things, I feel like they can actually get something quite decent for those two guys. I'm not sure it happens. I think they let Gary Trent play for a year before they do anything crazy with his contract. But yeah, Chris Boucher and Gary Trent is an appealing package, I think, for a host of players that are like, I don't even know how I would rank them, but if they are looking for a floor spacer to come off the bench as a sixth man, that would be an interesting, I think, thing to do. But the thing is, like, I feel like a lot of the issues for the Raptors would be quelled with like moving Gary Trent to the bench, but I feel like he's too good to do that. You know what I mean? So it might, in a twisted way, be easier to trade him, start a center, and then get a adequate sixth man off the bench and kind of just disperse the talent a little more on the Raptors, because I feel like they're so top heavy right now.
Yeah.
They might need to just kind of bring some of that talent to the bench. But yeah, that's a package, I think, besides Goran Dragic. Goran is like an easy one because of that, the money there. I feel like he can be, I feel like that contract can be dumped off to a tanking team.
Yeah.
Quite easily. But I'm not sure what for. Or I feel like, would the Raptors be required to give up picks to get rid of that? Like, would they be?
Depends. Like, maybe if it's a tanking team like the Houston Rockets, for example, who maybe want to get off of 2 years of Eric Gordon and just get an expiring for Goran Dragic, where you're saying, okay, we're gonna take on a guy like Aaron Gordon. Eric Gordon is shooting 45% from deep, which is insane.
I would not mind.
Yeah, he would be, I think he would fit in really well off the bench just in terms of the shooting that they need. So if they're bringing in a guy like that, and I think he just might be too high of a value right now, where I don't know that just an expiring is something that you can get for Eric Gordon.
They might even want a couple of seconds or something.
Yeah, like, and maybe the Raptors are willing to do that to beat out other teams in the Eric Gordon sweepstakes, because I think he's going to be someone that I think he fits in with the Raptors. It's just like, it makes sense because you just want him as a shooter. So like, that could be someone.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the exact sort of like eighth, ninth man shooter I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's not really needed to do much. The team has a lot of playmaking. Not
up in the corner. Yeah.
Yeah. So ideally like a Caris LeVert type and a Eric Gordon would be really cool, I think, because then you have the ball handling, someone that can get to the rim, and then you have someone who can space the floor right there.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they don't go
just
all in
financially. I just don't know that that's gonna work. I don't think you can
bring I'm not sure either, but like I just hope they don't go for like a Tice or something. I feel like center is not really
okay, so
worth. Yeah,
I was gonna ask you, okay, so we're gonna get into this, because in terms of what the Raptors need, a lot of people are pretty in on either some bench scoring, shooting in particular, or a center. Number one center that's kind of been rumored, at least a lot of Raptor fans really want in on a guy like this, and it depends on what his asking price is. I think initially the asking price a little bit too high, he gets hurt, the asking price comes down a little bit, and that's Miles Turner. Would you be, and Miles Turner, he's young, he's the same age as OG Anunoby, he's a great rim protector, he's a good floor spacer. Is that someone that you're interested in the Raptors trading for?
If they can do it for a good price without giving up any of the main guys, yeah, go for it. But a lot of the suggestions involve trading OG or something like that, which I'm very much against. I feel like that would be very dumb.
Would you be willing to do two picks, two first round picks? Because that's kind of the initial asking. So the initial asking price was two first round picks. I think you can probably go for a young guy and a first round pick. So if it's a Malachi Flynn and a first rounder, and then whatever money they go on to make it work, I'd be down to do that.
Yeah, I'd be down to do that. Yeah,
but if it's anything more than Malachi and a first.
Sorry?
But if it's anything more than Malachi and a first, if it's the two firsts that Indiana was rumored to be looking for, is that something you're interested in?
Yeah, two firsts is too much, I think, too steep.
Me too.
Especially like, since the Raptors are kind of average, their picks are not terrible. Like, the Raptors can do a lot with like a fringe lottery tie, you know, near the 20s or something like that. They can do something with that. Like, that's a great pick. That's the picks
and
that turn
also
into
you,
OG
you
or something. You know?
It is the picks that turn into OG. And beyond that, like, the Raptors have done so well with their first round picks that, like, I wouldn't want to give them up. But beyond that, two first round picks means, because of the Stepien rule, it's not like back-to-back picks. So now you're like into that sort of 2026 range. Like, what are we looking, 2024? Am I jumping too far ahead? And it's just like, do we know how good the Raptors are going to be and what that pick actually turns into? I don't know. I'm less excited about that, because I don't know that Miles Turner is much of a game changer. That I'm just like, the Raptors are undoubtedly going to be a top three seed in the East. I don't know that I see that.
Yeah, I don't think, I'm not sure that's like a, that's like a Serge Ibaka acquisition type thing that you do when you're like, okay, we're on the cusp of something, or we have a window that we can leap into. I don't think that's worth it. I don't think it's worth it until we see the Brooklyn Nets really disintegrate. Once that happens, I feel like it is an arms race after that. But in the time, for the time being, just do enough to win 50 games. You know what I mean? And it won't take much for them to do that. Right now, I feel like they're like a 40-win team. So if you can do something that can increase those margins of error, I think that they're in good hands.
All right. So someone that you just mentioned, another Indiana Pacers, I don't think that there's any space for Domantas Sabonis being a Raptor. His asking price is even higher than Miles Turner, and he just doesn't provide exactly what the Raptors are looking for in terms of the, like, he's too expensive. But Caris LeVert, someone that you mentioned, are you interested? What would you be willing to give up for a guy like Caris LeVert? I know that you're already interested in him. I have my questions about adding a guy like that to this team. But let me know what you think.
Let's see. I think Chris Boucher, if they let go of Miles Turner to another team, I feel like Chris Boucher could be an appealing acquisition for the Pacers, because they need someone to fill out that center role. So Chris Boucher could be a good piece for them. Goran perhaps for salary, because I do know that he's making, I feel like 19 million. A little less than, sorry?
He's making a little bit more than Caris right now.
No, I mean, like, how much is Caris making? Is
17.5.
Yeah, so I heard that it was more than that. Maybe we'd have to take something in return as well, which wouldn't be bad. They have so many, like, bench shooting guards that I feel like we could just kind of sneak in and take. But I think I would go as far as trade perhaps Gary Trent even for Caris LeVert, because Gary, I feel like, like I said, I feel like his expertise is replaceable on the team, even though what he does has been, like, so helpful for them. But I feel like the way Caris can get to the rim is something the Raptors can really, like, is something they really need right now. And I guess I believe in it a lot, because I've seen, like, I watched the Pacers and I see something really special there. And I think that he just doesn't receive enough responsibility. I feel like if he had the responsibility of coordinating the entire bench, it would be really interesting to see. I feel like he has like benchmark potential, and he just strikes me as a guy who can, like, win you some games in a series or something, you know what I mean? That's just kind
that of hurt my heart when you said Gary. I'm still in shock.
I know, I really like Gary, but I just feel like
older, he's like,
yeah, he's a couple years older, but
he's
like
he's like 5 or 6 years older. He's 27. Yeah, Gary's 22. Yeah. But and 23. Gary's 22, 23 maybe. He's born in 98, I want to say, and he's
So like 23 or something.
Yeah, he's 4 years apart. But beyond that, like, to me, the issue with a guy like Caris LeVert, at least, like, I personally would not mind Caris LeVert depending on the price point. But the problem is he really does require the ball in his hands. Whereas Gary Trent Jr.
I feel like that's kind of needed, because if you look at the bench units, no one knows what to do. Like, they rely on, like, Chris Boucher post-ups a lot of the times. Like, it's like no one wants the ball. Even Scotty doesn't quite know what to do in terms of running a unit yet. I feel like Caris is a type of guy who can dribble and make something happen. You know what I mean? It doesn't always have to end in a hit. But when I see, like, when Siakam and, like, Van Vliet sits, it gets really, like, weird out there. Like, I feel like no one really knows what to do. OG can't run an offense yet. Even Fred, when it comes to running an offense, I feel like if the team has taller defenders, it gets, like, there are issues. Like, he has issues with the entry pass. He has issues with dealing with the height of other players when it comes to playmaking, even though I think he's a great playmaker now. So, like, I feel like it would just bring them over the edge of a little bit, bring that playmaking to the bench. Someone that can just destabilize the defense a little bit, because I feel like they have talented cutters on the bench. And I feel like Jelena can really become a talented cutter. I won't be disappointed if it won't happen. I don't think it's gonna happen. It's just kind of like the idealist in me that I'm like, I could just see it working. Something, it's just a vibe. I can just,
it makes me like the idea of Gary, I wouldn't want to see that. I don't mind Caris LeVert coming in. I just, because what Gary does, yes, it is the most easily replaceable, but he's not expensive. He's a great off-ball threat, which is what the Raptors need. He provides a shooting. Caris LeVert is not a particularly great three-point shooter. He's not a particularly good three-point shooter. He's not even a particularly good catch-and-shoot guy, which the Raptors, I think where I'm coming from is I want to watch a lot of those other guys develop as playmakers, and I think develop as ball handlers, and I want the ball in Scotty's hands, and I, especially with the bench guys, I want the ball in Delano's hands, I want the ball in Scotty's hands, and I want them to grow with that. And I don't know that bringing in a guy like Harris LeVert really helps with what the future of this Raptors team is, which is six nine guys with the ball in their hands. And I think if Harris was a better off-ball threat, I would much rather his game. And in just looking at this, because I know that you've been a big proponent of this, and I trust your opinions on things, and so I was really looking into this to see, because I like Harris LeVert. We, as Raptor fans, we watched him in a first-round series, right?
He's good,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
He's a good player. He's the same age as our like the Pascal Siakams and the Fred VanVleet. So it's not like he works outside of the Raptors' range right now. But in really just looking at his numbers this season, he's kind of had two different seasons. He's had the pre-TJ McConnell season and the post-TJ McConnell injury season. And prior to that, when he did have to play more off ball, he was just, I think his averages were 13-3-3 on just abysmal shooting. He shot under 30% from deep, 40% from the floor. And then post the TJ McConnell injury, he's averaging over 21 points. He's averaging over 5 assists a game. And he's shooting great. I want to see Scotty. I want to see OG. And I want to see these other guys have the additional responsibility. And we just have yet to see a Caris LeVert be a good side piece. Right? Like, he couldn't do that with the Brooklyn Nets. He can't do that with the Indiana Pacers. He needs the ball in his hands to operate. And if we can't maximize his value, I just don't know that his fit with the Raptors is all that great.
Yeah, it's not, it's going to be something that they're going to have to restructure around a little bit. I just like the, I feel like there's something lacking. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know you see it too. There's something lacking in terms of creation.
For sure.
With the bench unit, you know, they just seem a little lost. I'm not sure how they quell that, if they're going to like bank on the development of people like Scotty to run those bench units when the starters, when some of the playmaking starters sit, or if they're going to actually just replace the playmaking altogether. I can see them going with the former, like Scotty has shown already. What is he averaging? Almost 4 assists right now?
I think so.
Yeah, as like the third offensive playmaking option on the court. So that's already impressive. He's averaging more assists than Bam. He's already like shown that he can make something happen. Maybe you just give him those reps. And not stunt his ball handling, his development as a playmaker by getting somebody who's already going to eat up those usage minutes. So I can see that. I can see them instead opting for like, even like a Justin Holiday instead of those Pacers. I feel like he's always cooking us too. Or as you said, like Aaron Gordon. So
Aaron Gordon, I kind of like, I'm kind of in on like the Aaron Gordon thing.
No, now that you mention it, and then the 45% shooting, he's like a big shot taker. I feel like he's like someone you can trust to play playoff minutes, obviously.
Definitely.
He has that experience. So, you know, why not?
And like a veteran sort of leadership, he'll be the oldest player like by a long shot. And he's, like you said, played those sort of significant playoff minutes with the Houston Rockets. So I like that idea. I just wonder what he's going to cost, because I think that a lot of contenders probably are looking at a guy like adding him, because he's just like the perfect kind of like plug and play. He doesn't need the ball. He doesn't really need to do much. And he's just going to He's going to get you, he's gonna just going to provide great spacing to your team. Now, someone,
yeah, I'm going to have to look at his how his numbers at the rim. If his numbers at the rim are solid, I think they should pay whatever.
pay whatever, 2 second round picks. it'll be interesting to see what he goes for there. But I can see them wanting to do that just to get off of the second year of his contract, and you give them an expiring and Goran Dragic. I think that that works. Now, someone else that Raptor fans have kind of been ogling a little bit is another center, a former Raptor, Jakob Poeltl. What are your thoughts about adding a guy like Yak, who doesn't offer the floor spacing in the same way that Miles Turner does, in the sense that he's not a great three-point shooter, but he is a good sort of off-ball cutter. He's also a great screener. So you can kind of, it's not like he's going to necessarily hurt your spacing in that way because of the way that he's able to move.
I feel like he would be perfect on the team. Like, I love the idea of him playing on the team. I feel like they have a lot of average screeners, but Jakob would be the best screener on the team.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine him creating a huge ton of space for the ball handlers on the squad. That would be like a godsend, especially for players that like Fred, who need the space to be at their best. They're just missing that someone who can roll really strong, someone who's like bigger than most players on the court almost every night.
We're precious,
but like the issue is that it would probably involve like cutting out Precious or Kem or both. Like, I don't,
Kem hasn't been healthy. I think kind of the thing is just like having the insurance there.
Yeah, like, and like, you wouldn't trade Kem because like the whole reason he took a pay cut was to play in Canada. So
yeah. I wouldn't want to trade
kinda him. Ugly. So.
I wouldn't want to trade him.
Precious might be tough to watch sometimes, but they're banking on his upside as a second year player. You know, players deserve that 2 year window to kind of prove themselves. And I think he's shown enough flashes to kind of earn some minutes on the court. How much does Jakob earn? Is he already on a new contract or is he waiting to get paid?
I think he's waiting. Let me see. He's making 8.7 and then he makes 9.3 next year, 9.4 next year, and then he's going to be an unrestricted free agent in 2023.
Okay, so you have him for a good touch.
2 years.
Wait, yeah.
This year, next year. This year,
okay.
Next
year. Not terrible. I don't think he's going to like crazily out-earn his contract unless he really becomes like Rudy Gobert, which who's to say he doesn't. Like, his defense has been phenomenal. So I feel just the idea of the Raptors being able to just reinforce that interior defense with a guy who's not terrible. Like, he can really defend the pick and roll. Like, he's such a sound 7-footer traditional center. You know what I mean? He's about as good as you can get from that position who's not a superstar. So I just like, after even like the Bulls game, seeing them get beat in the inside, just Vucevic easily getting those hook shots over Boucher and Pascal, and you're like, these guys are defending the best they can. They can't even like challenge that hook shot in the least without fouling without fouling and getting in the way. They just look so helpless. And I'm like, when it comes to the postseason, that's going to be exploited so hard. And then you have, like, with guys like Vucevic in particular, and so many centers are like this in the league, where they could, if you send more than one guy, they're going to make that correct pass to the perimeter. Like, it's a required skill for players like him now. So they were getting burned by that the other night.
On the offensive end, just the way that he's able to just help your half court offense, you mentioned it, which
it's going to help the offense. It's going to help the defense. You saw with Marc Gasol, when you could just put one guy on the center of the other team, your other guys don't have to worry about switching. I feel like switching, people make it seem like such an easy defensive scheme, but like if you're a half step off, the entire defense falls apart. It's actually quite difficult. Like, I feel like having a guy who could just kind of sag back and protect the rim is so underrated. Like, we saw how much stronger those teams were when we just had a sound 7-foot center protecting
the Milwaukee
that.
Bucks know exactly what that means with Brook Lopez.
It is so needed. Like, the Raptors beat the Bucks recently. Yeah. Brook Lopez being president would make it a different story. Brook Lopez would be dancing in the
face. It would, like, the fear that guards had with the Raptors and getting into the paint was when Brook Lopez just stood in the middle. Like, absolutely no one drove at all because they were terrified. And then the game that the Raptors beat the Bucks, I'm like, They outscored the, like, they had more points in the paint than the Bucks. Like, they just completely dominated inside against the Milwaukee Bucks. That's what happened when you have Bobby Portis inside and not and not Brooke Lopez, which is going to be really interesting for the Milwaukee Bucks moving forward. And also, like, I mean, the Cavs are a perfect example of this, having Jared Allen. Like, it's just necessary to have a guy who can protect the rim.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, yeah, the best defenses are thriving doing that right now. So,
yeah.
Jakob would be, if they just got Jakob, that'd be a good offseason to me. Like, yeah. Just acquiring Jakob, maybe, like, just some fringe shooter who can provide a little bit of spacing out there. Maybe someone on the Spurs. Like, what was the package people were talking about? Jakob Poeltl and Doug McDermott.
Yeah.
That was a package people were suggesting, and I'm like, that's kind of appealing. Like,
it is.
You get everything you need in one package first. Yeah. And I feel like with some negotiating, the Raptors can get that done, because the Raptors
they have a good relationship with the they've got a good relationship with the San Antonio Spurs. They'll get it done.
Yeah, it's something there. Hopefully they don't hate them. We're getting a player back that we traded
for. You get Yak and Siakam reunion. I love a skills and a Yak reunion.
They were supposed to get Siakam in that trade, and then we end up getting Jakob back to play with Siakam again. Maybe Popovich doesn't remember.
That was his bad. So I'm interested, because I kind of see Chris Boucher as someone who could very easily be moved. Now, he's been playing spectacular, but I kind of look at him as a very Norman Powell-esque guy, not that they play the same way, but when you had Norm, you had the high highs with Norm and you had the low lows, and he was about to be an unrestricted free agent, and he was playing really great basketball, which means you had to open up your pockets. And because he was older, but a year older than Pascal Siakam and Norman Powell, but because he was older, or Norman Powell, and because he was about to make a lot of money, and because he wasn't consistent, you had your high highs, you had your low lows, and you really kind of wanted someone to grow with the team, they ended up trading him for a Gary Trent Jr. Now, Chris Boucher is in a very similar situation. We saw his high highs that he's having recently. Yeah. We saw his low lows. So do you think that he does get moved because the Raptors are going to try and not have to pay him in the offseason?
Yeah, I don't see them paying him again.
Yeah.
Not even in a bad way, especially since his play has been really solid lately. But it's just that his contract, I feel like, that he'll be earning, coupled with the amount of minutes he plays on the team. I feel like the only reason we've been seeing him get so much play is because of Kem's absence. Mm-hmm. If that wasn't the case, I feel like his minutes would have been very limited, and that whatever contract he'd be up to earn, the Raptors wouldn't be able to provide and justify. So with those things considered, with the inconsistency of his play, I feel like it's just it's not really a role that I feel like the team that satisfies the deficiencies of the team right now. I feel like they need a little bit more paint presence. But, you know, his shooting turnaround lately, I feel like can get them a really good return. And I feel like he'd be up for decent money. I feel like there is space on a team for him out there. But it's just that I think it's run its course with the Raptors, this iteration of the Raptors at least. So, we'll see how that turns out. But I feel like the quick turnaround he's had lately has really turned him into an asset for their team, for the team, where they can kind of, people can, they can justify his inconsistent play with the inconsistent conditions of the team,
right,
pretty easily. And he has his play from last season coupled with his play as of recent. Yeah. I feel like they can kind of create a case, you know what I mean, with their package, and perhaps add it with another player on the roster and get something quite good. But yeah, Chris, like, it's not, I think that, yeah, he's run his course with the team. But it's not like they need to get rid of him under any circumstances. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not moved at the same time, but I think that he's going to be moved. I feel like he should have been moved last season, but they missed an opportunity. They had to let him play a little more. And I feel like now they have another opportunity where his play has turned around, where they can't miss the window once again. I just don't see him staying, you know?
I agree. And now to move away from trades and on to one of our young guys that are performing really well. He had an on-court altercation With PJ Washington of the Charlotte Hornets, and that's Justin Champagny. And the NBA has just put out that they've both been fined $15,000. One of the worst things, I think, is a double technical, because I'm like, pick a culprit, blame him. But that's this crazy. This is now a double fine. What are your thoughts?
First of all, Champagny has been awesome. Mm-hmm. I talked about him a couple episodes ago, where like he has such a solid foundation. Mm-hmm. For a rookie, where it's like, if this guy gets one offensive move, he's gonna be like earning great money. He's gonna be such a solid role player.
That's his one offensive move. Just put the ball back in when you get
put it back in. Get your miss and put it back in. But if he gets like a go-to move of sorts, mm-hmm. where he can just kind of, even if it's like a corner three or something, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be anything remarkable. It can be even like a hook shot, something. You know what I mean? He's going to be, he reminds me of Siakam in that sense, where like he gained his spin move and it turned into this solid role player that could be, you know, like a starting quality player. Like his foundation is just so sound. Like,
yeah,
the way he rebounds is like, where did he come from? You know what I mean? When you're seeing him play. Off topic a little bit. Why doesn't the NBA have like a sliding scale?
They should.
For their fines. They in should. Regards to technicals, like it makes no sense. Why is a rookie on a two-way being charged the same as players earning millions, tens of millions of dollars? Like, how does that make sense? Like, you just heard the story today of Embiid paying what was his name, AJ, I'm gonna have to search it. It's the rookie on the Pelicans, who was charged $2,000, which is like a significant amount of his contract.
Jose Alvarado and Joel Embiid were jawing at each other this week. It was friendly. Alvarado said that Embiid paid his fine. There you go.
Yeah, $2,000 fine where Embiid covered. I'm sure the Raptors will figure it out, or they'll get MLSC to pay. I don't know if that's allowed, but as long as the money goes forward. The association somehow, some way. Hopefully
one of the vets. Cover it.
But like, that's so gross.
It's honestly, I think it's one of the issues with the NBPA is that it's a lot of
like representing two-way players there.
That's the problem. The representation is just the best players in the league.
The top
25 players in the league. So what we're seeing is a lot of like the rule changes that have made, like, you know, what was it, the sliding scale that was made for older players, so that guys like Chris Paul and LeBron James can make more money later on in their careers. Things like that really do benefit the 1% of the league.
Yeah.
and nobody really pays attention to, like, it does not make sense to have someone who is making like $500,000 a year pay the same fine as someone making $50 million. Nobody's making that, but you know what I mean. It just doesn't make sense to have a guy paying the max and a guy making the min also have the same fines if they get a technical or if they get into an altercation or yada yada. But I think that's the problem with the NBPA, is there's just no representation.
It seems like such a easy rule to enact. Like, it seems like just like a logical inclusion into the contracts. Like, it just seems like something that makes so much sense and so easy, but it just goes to show how there's no one representing.
Representation matters.
You know, the guys on the end of the bench that are making 80,000 a year, like, they exist. You know what I mean? The guys that are making regular middle income money, obviously they get their sponsorships and some and whatnot, which it bloats their earnings, but they're still earning a fraction what some players earn per day, per half day, for the entirety of the year.
And the fines are just one and the same, and it doesn't make any sense. But until you get actual representation from two-way guys in the NBPA, who's going to make a case for them, and who's going to be their lawyer there?
Yeah. We'll see how if there are any changes. I feel like this year is the first time I've heard it brought up often, you know. So hopefully,
you very rarely get two-way guys getting in trouble, though. I think they're smart with their money. Like, how often?
Only because of all the injuries and COVID absences that were I feel like I've been hearing and seeing so many two-way guys play lately, and I love it because it just kind of kind of enriches your viewing experience, but. So many issues that I've never thought I'd think about have come up so much lately, especially with the plethora of 10-day contracts that have come out. and just seeing so many new faces, it just brings out a host of things that have probably never been considered before for the
NBA. A lot of weird inequities where it's just like, that doesn't make sense.
Wait, this is completely wrong.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Friday Views. It's so interesting that we're 2 weeks away from the NBA trade deadline, and I look forward to talking to you around then. Me too. Yaka Pertl. You know what? You've convinced me. I'm all on board on the Yak to Toronto train.
All right. That's the new agenda.
That's it. Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.